Indhasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namasreshtam manamapi shachiputra matra surupam Rupam tasyagra jamurupuring maturim goshtavatim Radha kundam girivaramaho radhika madhavasham Prapto yasya pratita kripaya Shri Gurum tam natosmi Vande Ham Shri Guru Shri Yatah Paragamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavanscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parajana Sahitam Krishna Taitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha. All the brahmacharis especially have come here to be sadhus. But the message that I'm going to give you today is don't be a sadhu. Well, that's a strange message, isn't it? I'll explain that. Again, talking about the proper use of terms. The Mayavadis have misappropriated this term sadhu. So that when we think of a sadhu, generally we think of a Mayavadi type of person who is typically, at least their public persona is like that, a gentle, soft, smile, peaceful. They're very nice to everyone, they don't criticize anyone. That's generally what it's considered what sadhu should be like. Although actually some Mayavadis are very strong also. But that's the general idea. There's one particular rascal who it seems to me he just copied the idea of what the stereotyped idea of a sadhu should be, and he's become quite successful in getting many followers, world famous. I'm talking about the Sri Sri rascal. He's taken the role of typical sadhu, smiles, it's nice. He says, my aim of life is to put a smile on everyone. So he has a long beard, talks like a woman, giggles, like this. Good candidate for getting kicked in the face with boots, according to what Prabhupada used to say. So, another famous sadhu. He's a different profile, the jolly sadhu, or the one who's, they laugh a lot and smile. I'm thinking about this Dalai Lama. Let's be explicit. People think he's a very great saintly person. Some time ago I looked on YouTube to see what's he doing, what's he saying. In the West there's a big thing, many people think he's so wonderful. So I saw on this YouTube in Australia he was being interviewed on TV, and the interviewer was obviously awed at being in his presence. And the interviewer asked him with a lot of respect and awe that, can you please bless my football team that they can win their game? And Dalai Lama laughed and said, I can bless but no guarantee, like this. Totally mundane. Completely, just neither the so-called sadhu nor the so-called devotee had any idea of how one should properly interact with the sadhu. Tasmad gurum prapadyeta jignyasu shreya uttamam. This is, as Prabhupada often quoted from Bhagavatam, having seen this world to be miserable, one should approach a guru, is a synonym, almost synonym for sadhu, and inquire about the topmost Shreya, the topmost benefit. You know, ask for a blessing for your football team to win, and actually, people didn't ask questions like that to Prabhupada, because Prabhupada, he didn't go down to people's superficial level. He didn't play along with them. So, Prabhupada would immediately bring the discussion to a better level. Once Prabhupada was asked by some reporters, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu told us several times, some TV journalists, they came to the press interview, the press conference, late. So that Prabhupada was already walking out, and they were walking up toward, they were running up toward him, and they stopped and pulled out their mic and said that, well, I can't remember exactly the question, something like this, that, are you a Hindu or a Buddhist? Prabhupada said, we have nothing to do with this Hinduism or Buddhism. We are teaching the truth, and if you want, you can take it. Immediately, just changed the whole tenor of Hinduism, Hindu, Buddhist, this, that, you see this, and immediately Prabhupada brought them to the, and put them personally on the spot. Not just that you're doing your job as a TV journalist, but you should take it if you want the truth. So people didn't ask Prabhupada questions like that, because he wasn't on such a, well, say, no, they'd often ask things like, why do you have a shaved head? Prabhupada famously replied to the mini-skirted woman journalist who asked him, why do you have bare legs? Her legs were like this, open. Prabhupada said, better to have a cool head than cold legs. Then she laughed. That one time I was there, Prabhupada was being interviewed, and the reporter asked Prabhupada some questions like this, you know, where are you born, this, that. Prabhupada just turned to Mukunda, who's now Mukunda Maharaj, and said, you answer these questions. He didn't even want to answer them. So he didn't think it was, he didn't want to waste his time with formalities. That you should immediately, we find in the Bhagavatam also that Prithu Maharaj, when he didn't ask, when the Kumaras came, he didn't ask, how are you, this, that, immediately inquired about spiritual values. Didn't waste time talking, how are you, where did you come from, all this kind of thing. Immediately, get down to the point. So, when I said don't be a sadhu, I mean, don't be that kind of sadhu, but be the real sadhu. As mentioned by Bhagavan Narayanam himself, sadhavo hridayang mahyang sadhunang hridayang tvaham maranyate na jananti nahang te bhyomanagapi. That sadhus are my heart, and I am their heart, because they know nothing but me, and I know nothing but them. So this clearly refers to devotees. It doesn't refer to mayavadis. When Krishna says the sadhus are my heart, because a sadhu had come to him, Durvasa Muni, and he was trying to, this Durvasa was trying to get expiation from his offense of having seriously insulted Ambarish Maharaj, who wasn't a sadhu from the extrinsic vision. Ambarish Maharaj was a worldly man, and Durvasa Muni was a great yogi. But Narayan Bhagavan said that sadhus are my heart, referring to Ambarish and his type, and not to Durvasa. So really the word sadhu means devotee, and Prabhupada, he would translate it like that, and he's saying, well, you know, that's a biased interpretation, but, well, yeah, we're biased. We're biased to follow what Bhagavan himself states. So the, we don't accept all opinions as equal. We accept the statements of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as being more important than all the opinions of all the people in the world put together, even if they have PhDs. We don't care for their PhDs. We'll listen to Vyasadeva. That's all. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was a sadhu. He was living as a sadhu, what you might call a typical sadhu. He was living in Mayapur, living like his guru, Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, and practically just as renounced that Gaurakishore Das Babaji, who is Sakshat Vairagya Murti, he is directly the form of non-attachment to this world. But he himself said of Saraswati Thakur that I see in him the renunciation of Raghunath, who is the most renounced the one who demonstrated renunciation or austerity more than any of the six Goswamis, who are very austere, all of them. So he was living like that in Mayapur. He lived in a little hut which he didn't bother to build properly. And so the rain would leak through, and he'd hold an umbrella and go on chanting. He'd eat rice once a day. And he went on for years like that, just sitting and chanting Hare Krishna. And living far away from the common people. He was from the city, Calcutta, but he lived a completely remote life among illiterate. I mean, the only people around him were some illiterate village people, mostly Muslims. So he was living a completely, typical sadhu. Most sadhus couldn't live like that, but what people would recognize as a sadhu. Then he founded Sri Chaitanya Math, which was eventually to be built as a big building, came to Calcutta after accepting sannyas on the same day as he founded Chaitanya Math, and shortly after that he came to Calcutta. He dressed finely on occasion, mixed with all materialistic people, spoke English, which in those days was considered very improper for sadhus. I mean, in those days, even to eat tomatoes was considered something just completely off, because it's not Indian. There was the Orthodox people were so against anything from the West or anything to do with modern life. And eventually, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had built for him a big temple out of marble in the heart of the city. It's not what sadhus do. They should have some simple ashram in some forest area or on a hill like that, away from the people. That's the idea. But he had a different outlook. He himself had asked Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, what about all in Vrindavan? There are so many Babajis, and they seem to be all, you know, good devotees, and what do you think of them? And Babaji Maharaj replied, they're all bogus. All the sadhus, he just rejected, they're all bogus. Later, when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur himself did parikrama all around Vrajamandal, he visited all the places, and at the end he said, I couldn't find any proper devotee. They're all neophyte devotees. And people living in Vrindavan, they left everything to go and live in the dham, they're living austere lives. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he didn't rate them. So he shocked people, no doubt. Srila Prabhupada also shocked people many times. Many times people they appreciated his presence and thought he's a saintly person, but there are occasions, just like for instance in front of a whole hall full of people in Glasgow, which is the biggest city in Scotland, when one man stood up and said, "I am God," Prabhupada shouted at him, "You're not God, you are a dog." And all the people stood up and clapped. But there was no saying how they would react. I mean, they might have attacked Prabhupada, you never know. Because Glasgow is a very violent city. The people there, at least within Britain, where I'm from, they're known to be it's a very aggressive and dangerous kind of place, actually. All the young men there have knives. They all carry a knife. At least they use a knife for, you know, for stabbing people. That's normal. So I had some experience. I'll tell you some other time about that. My first visit to Glasgow. So Glasgow, as they say, in Glaswegian. So there was no predicting that it might have been that they'd all literally attack Prabhupada and all the devotees. You know, they might have. I mean, it's a very insulting thing to say to someone. They did cheer, but there was no saying how they would react. But just the fact, you wouldn't expect a sadhu to react like that. If someone says, "I'm God," and you might say, "Well, yes, yes. Well, we respect your opinion," and all. And Prabhupada, no, he most forcefully rejected it and said, "You are a dog." And Prabhupada's regular language was full of words like rascal, fool, nonsense, stool, animal. You know, you've heard Prabhupada's lectures, his conversations, and his books. It's everywhere. Oh, another shocking point of Bhaktisiddhanta, he said, "We're not going to build hospitals. We're not going to do this." Because the Ramakrishna mission had become very popular by doing this. He said, "We're not going to do this. We don't have time for that. We're too busy preaching Krishna consciousness. We can't divert our attention to that." Prabhupada also, he must have shocked this Andhra Pradesh Drought Fund Relief Committee when they asked that you're having big programs in Hyderabad, we're collecting money for the famine and drought stricken people of Andhra Pradesh. It's a pathetic situation. The cattle are starving, the people are starving. So many thousands of people are coming to your lectures. We wanted to make a collection at the end. Prabhupada said, "No, we're not going to do that. You come and join us and help us preach Krishna consciousness. That will solve the problems." He refused to do that. So you may think, what kind of a sadhu? You know, it's supposed to be compassionate. These people are starving. They suggested, "You can send your people around distributing prasad. We'll help you." Prabhupada wasn't interested at all. So that might seem that Prabhupada was very harsh, but, well, I'll get round to explain another point, yeah, is that the Mayavadis, they generally speak in a very vague way, you know, just like love, compassion, kindness, peace, you know, all these things. Very vague, and then everyone feels, oh, very nice. But the real sadhu is very, not vague, very specific. You have to surrender to Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada refused to have his society incorporated with the name International Society for God Consciousness. Krishna, not God. God, you mean the word God and everyone feels, very nice. Then you can just, if you want, you can think of Ganesh as God. If you want to think, you can have Sai Baba as God. If you want, you can have Krishna as God. We have no objection. You can think of yourself as God. You can think of everything as God. If you want, you don't have to believe in God at all. You see, you can be an atheist and be a Hindu, right? It's quite possible and acceptable. See? So, Prabhupada was specific. No, Krishna. It's Krishna. You have to surrender to Krishna. And surrender to Krishna means there are certain things to follow. No meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication. And then the list goes on. Prabhupada wanted no factories, no mundane schools, no education except Krishna conscious education, and that only for the education in reading and writing, all this thing, only for a very few people. I mean, Prabhupada, the things he said were so specific and so unpalatable to people, they may say, well, this is horrible. It seems horrible because they're horrible. Because they've rejected Krishna. So, very vague people like this. Yes, very nice. Your love and peace. But when it gets specific, it hurts. It's just like if you touch someone with your hand, then it doesn't hurt. But if you point, you press, you poke, you make it on a specific point, it hurts. So Prabhupada, he was not vague. He was specific. So our devotees also, people, they generally tend to think that they are very peaceful like that. And they sometimes become surprised in the Western world. I don't know so much now, but we used to get into fights that used to happen that it was quite common that when we went for Harinam, people would attack us physically, and devotees would respond. Well, different things. Sometimes they'd surround a person and blow conches and chant and sing a prayer, and they'd go crazy. If people violently attacked some of the devotees, would smash the cartels on this big cartels, the sides, smash it into their heads like this. Several times because people thought that they were the devotees are just like some very effeminate kind of people. They're not. And actually, many people respected the devotees when they saw that they're not prepared just to let people push them around. They're damn serious about what they're doing. But people are surprised by that. So, Prabhupada refused. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, they refused to follow what people thought a sadhu should be like. But they simply acted according to the principle of a real sadhu, which is anukul yasya sankalpa pratikul yasya varjanam. This is the behavior of a devotee. Everything they do, they have to see, is this favorable for Krishna consciousness? Do it. And if it's not favorable for Krishna consciousness, don't do it. That's all. This is the principle of a real sadhu that Prabhupada lived by, and he taught us to live by. Not that, well, you see, now you have to be like this because people expected you to be like that. Of course, we also shouldn't think that Prabhupada was a ruffian. Not like that. He was very cultured. I mean, even from the materialistic standpoint, he was very cultured, aristocratic, gentleman. And many times people were very charmed by him. This happened very often. But he wasn't cultivating being charming, and he wasn't cultivating being harsh. But he just acted as Krishna inspired him, we can say that, because to act in a manner that was conducive for others to be Krishna conscious, which is not always to be very soft. So I'm stressing maybe the hard side, because that's not what's expected. People expect only soft, but it's, what is that? Kusamapi komal and vajradapi katurani. I can't remember the exact verse. Yeah. That soft as a flower and hard as a thunderbolt. Both characteristics are there in the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his great devotees. So, here's another example that sometimes I heard of one of our leaders that someone had offered to donate some new cars. for the temple. He said, no, no, we're sadhus, we don't need. There's a complete misunderstanding that we should use, especially if people are willing to donate, we should use good things for Krishna. Prabhupada, in the beginning, of course, in the very first days of our movement, to have any vehicle at all was considered something good. But later, when our movement got more money and more facilities, Prabhupada said, don't go in old cars. Don't go in battered old cars, which are always breaking down and they don't look good. When Prabhupada arrived in, well, not only, but particularly there was one instance when Prabhupada arrived in Australia and the devotees had hired a Rolls Royce car for him to go. And Rolls Royce, I never saw one in India. There may be one or two here. But they're completely, this Rolls Royce car is in a completely different league to that of other prestigious cars. Traditionally, the prestigious cars are Mercedes-Benz, Jaguar, Bentley, BMW. These are like, for people who've got lots of money, they drive this. But the Rolls-Royce is like, it's 10 times more expensive than a BMW. Something like very, very expensive. So devotees have hired, anyone drives in a Rolls-Royce, that means they're very, very, very rich and very, very prestigious. So Prabhupada arrived in a Rolls Royce, and the local, the press reporters, what's this? They thought, you know, he's supposed to be a saintly man, isn't supposed to be attached to worldly things. So they asked Prabhupada, they interviewed, how come you're driving in a Rolls Royce, this fancy car? And Prabhupada said, well, God, he goes in a gold vehicle. The representative of God should be treated as good as God. So actually this Rolls Royce isn't good enough. He didn't back down or become intimidated. He said it's not good enough, actually. So, of course, lesser devotees, they may think, well, yeah, good car. Yeah, I should have a good car. And then they become worldly. But for an actual devotee who's actually serving Krishna, there's no limit to the facility he can use. So, we see here in India especially, some people join our society because they have the idea they want to be a sadhu. Sometimes it happens in the West also. A godbrother of mine told me, he just put a book table out on the street in one city, and someone, same age, little younger than him, 40, something like that, came up and said, I want to be like you. I want to join and be like, I want to join you and be I don't know if they have the word sadhu. Monk is the word they usually use in the Western world, a monk. So I doubt if he had much idea of Krishna consciousness, but he had the idea. He wanted to be a saintly person and not involved with this world like that. So even in India today, some people, they want to be sadhus. They don't want to be part of the materialistic society. They are attracted to the life of a sadhu, and they come and join us. Now, they didn't join particularly because they want to be a devotee, but they want to be a sadhu, live a saintly life and not get entangled in family life and do spiritual things like that. Which is a nice idea. But you see here in Gujarat, when Gujarati boys, they want to be a sadhu, what do? They go and join Swami Narayan. Because that's the one organization in Gujarat which has ashrams for brahmacharis. So people go and join them. They don't know that ISKCON, you can also join ISKCON. I guess in Gujarat, if people think I want to be a sadhu, it means they join Swami Narayan. They don't know anything else. So, well, we have to make our ashrams in which people are brahmachari. We do have ashrams we have temples in Gujarat, but they're mostly grihastha oriented. And naturally, brahmacharis like to join where there's an atmosphere with brahmacharis. Devotees are devotees, but there's a difference of mood between brahmacharis and grihasthas, generally speaking. Brahmacharis need a certain atmosphere, a certain space in which they can develop like that. So, yeah, we have to develop that. And then people may come and join us like that, because they want to be sadhus. This Vrajmohan joined us like that, I think, isn't it? He was already sadhu type, and then he came and joined us in Vallabhadranaga. So there are a few like that. But then we have to teach them the proper siddhanta. Otherwise they come and they just think, okay, I'm being a sadhu. And they don't really understand what is Krishna consciousness. And they might get disturbed when they see devotees acting like in a way which they think is not proper for a sadhu. They may think that, why are you going in cars and all this kind of thing. Of course, we could, if they're attached to that kind of thing, we could send them on padyatra. That's very good. But if they come like that, that's good, but generally they'll have all various misconceptions. Everyone has misconceptions. So that we need to teach them the proper understanding. Otherwise they may become more like sadhus than devotees, if you get what I mean. More attached to being a sadhu. And we see that in Bengal and Orissa, many people come and join us, and then they go away and they become Babaji, especially Oriya boys. They go to Govardhan and they become Babajis because they think it's more saintly being like that. Because they couldn't understand the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that we have to work hard and we have to preach. And people generally think you become a sadhu and you sit in the ashram and you have a peaceful life and all this working hard, going out, selling books, harassing people, getting money, and it's too much, I just wanted to be a sadhu, that's all. I wanted to sit peacefully and read Bhagavad Gita, and what's all this hard work, I think I'll go and be a Babaji and be really austere, and I can really feel like I'm a sadhu. But Prabhupada said that one day on traveling Sankirtan, selling the books and preaching Krishna consciousness, it's worth more than, it's better than thousands of years being spent as a yogi. Because you get the blessings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we see that some people, they're devotees, even they're devotees many years, but they still have a lot of appreciation for the Mayavadi sadhus. And they praise them, and in many ways the praise may be not inappropriate. I'm not saying that we can learn. Chanakya says we can even learn from the dog something. So what to speak of sadhus who are, I mean, many of them, they are honest, strictly following principles, austere, tolerant of heat and cold. So I mean, it's not that we can't respect them or we can't learn anything from them, but at the same time we have to see that for all that they do, there's something very seriously wrong with them. They're not Krishna conscious. It's all their activities, it's something like offering ghee into ashes, the fire's already gone out. Instead of offering the ghee into the fire of the yajna, if the fire's already extinguished, then there's no maybe first class ghee. You may be chanting the mantras very nicely and maybe a very auspicious time, but if there's no fire, the offering doesn't reach to the gods or to Bhagavan Vishnu. So without Krishna, everything's useless. That's the whole point. So, if we say all these things, many people may be offended. You see, they have great reverence, for instance, for the Dalai Lama, like that Australian TV journalist, obviously a great reverence for the Dalai Lama. But their deep reverence, however spiritual it may seem to them, it's all just nonsense, actually. It's rascaldom, actually, because they're avoiding Krishna. You can see what nonsense. Give a blessing that my football team will... It's just completely, absolutely mundane. So, our situation might seem to be extreme. Well, Krishna consciousness is extreme. It is meant for coming out of this material world. We see everything in this world, it's all useless without Krishna. There's no being in this material world is a completely useless situation unless we can serve Krishna. And this isn't the best place to serve. The spiritual world is meant for that. Of course, it's the best place to serve for preaching in that sense. But Krishna says, Sarvadhaman parityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja. It's an extreme situation. A sadhu lives by that. So, our role model is Srila Prabhupada. We saw Prabhupada. At least, I was fortunate enough to do so. So, and personally, I found Prabhupada so attractive compared to all these bogus sadhus. I was just disgusted with them all. All these impersonalists, just all talking all vague things. But Prabhupada was so attractive because he spoke clearly the truth and made it available. He didn't speak in riddles. That's another thing. Sadhus, so-called sadhus, are speaking in a way that you're not sure what they mean, and they're not sure what they mean either. Or they say one thing, and then the next sentence they say something else. In this way, they try to, it's some kind of mind game. So Prabhupada wasn't like that. He made it very clear. The body is temporary. The soul is eternal. We're all meant for happiness. There's no happiness in this material world. There is the Supreme Controller. He is Krishna. We have to surrender to him. Everything clear. Not some hocus pocus trying to bewilder you. Everything very clear. So, I suppose it's natural that people, they follow the role model of the people around them. But Srila Prabhupada, I'd say let's keep Prabhupada in the center of ISKCON. And it's not that everyone's going to be exactly the same as Prabhupada. We're not trying to create a bunch of clones here. Nor is it possible. But he is our role model. And we can... You know, we may seem some devotees who are, you know, very nice and gentle and all those things. And they're okay in their own place, but if everyone was nice and gentle, who's going to kick the atheist in the face with boots? Metaphorically, we're not going to do it literally. But you know, someone has to preach strongly and make things clear. And personally, I just feel much safer following Prabhupada and his example than just trying to be something like a Mayavadi or something like that. So, in many ways, it's easier to be a so-called sadhu than a real sadhu. The people like you, they respect you, and this and that, but like I say, one Prabhupada is worth everything, all the rest of the universe put together. better follow the example of the real devotees. Any questions? Yeah.
Well, these devotees, they may start up sometimes opening hospitals and schools. So what?
Opening hospitals and schools.
What?
Why are they doing it? I don't know. It becomes difficult. It used to be difficult in the sense that people used to ask, why don't you open hospitals and schools? And we tried to explain to them, well, actually, Krishna consciousness is more valuable. It was very difficult. Now we can say, yes, we have hospitals and schools. Or another thing, when you open a center, then people say, well, when are you going to open your hospital? Now, ISKCON opens hospitals. They say, no, we don't open hospitals. Yes, you do open hospitals. Everyone knows you have a hospital. So, as I said some time ago, it's changing the tenor of our movement to something that Prabhupada didn't make it. So that's my objection. They have an understanding, we'll preach better. Yeah, I discussed this. Did you hear that lecture I gave just after Janmashtami? You may attract more people, but it doesn't mean that it's the real thing. If you preach something bogus, definitely you'll get more followers, definitely you'll be more popular. I mean, if you're a good propagandist. It's propaganda, that's all. It's not the real thing. But we're selling diamonds. Don't. If you sell bangles, plastic bangles, then definitely you'll get more customers. If you sell diamonds, you'll hardly get any customers. But you have to decide. You know, if you're going to sell diamonds or sell bangles, that's all. Cheap bangles. So it may seem that it's more successful preaching because you have more customers, but what's the value? Ekas chandras tamohanti kingna taragano picha. One moon is worth more than all the rest, all the stars put together, all the rest of the stars. Harass who? Approach who? You can smile if you like. There's no harm in smiling. Devotees are naturally happy. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. But don't fake it. Don't go around, oh, now I have to smile. You don't always have to smile. Why? Approach people. If you're selling books, this, then you can smile. Generally, if you look happy, people, they're attracted to that. But a devotee is naturally happy by following sadhana and surrendering his life to Krishna. Not that you have to learn how to smile. And now I have to, oh, now I'm going to sell, but I have to remember to smile. Even if you don't smile, if you've chanted your rounds nicely in the morning, then you'll have spiritual tej. How do you say that? Ojas, some kind of what's the word? Aura, some kind of aura about you by which people will be impressed. But anyway, our aim is not to impress people. Our aim is to give them the books, bring them to Krishna consciousness. Impressing people is, well, a first impression, it can be like that. But then that's also, it's not our aim and object. We're not clowns on a stage. We're not actors. And that's another thing. There's so many things. There's so much appreciable about Prabhupada. He wasn't acting a role. He didn't model himself after some kind of this Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur called Jatra Dole Narada, which Prabhupada translated as farcical Narada. Jatra Dole means this village dramas. Someone may be Narada in the drama, but then in his own personal life he's, you know, just some ordinary person. So we want real Narada, not farcical Narada. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. You have a question? Yes.
When we do book distribution, sometimes when we speak straightforwardly, people get annoyed. So what we have to do here to act according to times and circumstances?
When we do book distribution, we speak straightforwardly, people get annoyed. Not necessarily, they get annoyed. Do we act according to time, place and circumstance? Yeah, the main thing in book distribution is to sell the book. So we're not trying to convert people overnight and get rid of all their anarthas in three seconds. Give them the book, that's the main thing. But time, place and circumstance, you don't know how people are going to act. If you speak straightforwardly, some people may appreciate that and take the book. If you speak straightforwardly, some people may get upset. If you're just playing games with them, maybe they'll take the book. Maybe they'll think you're just superfluous and not take the book. You can't tell how people are going to react. You can tell that these books, these are not just ordinary spiritual books. These are the books which have changed the world. And you praise the books. There's no harm in that. It's always good to do that. But you don't have to tell them that you're an animal, you're a dog. Don't tell people that. Prabhupada, he rarely told people that you are a dog like that. It was rare. he would say that people who are not living their life for the sake of spiritual realization, they're living like animals. He would speak in a general way, so that people could understand, actually I'm just an animal, that's what he's accusing me. But rarely he would say to people, you are a dog. He would, but rarely.
Once you're doing the distinction between Sai Baba devotee, so we told him Sai Baba also worships Krishna and somehow we gave him the book. So after he took the book, then later we came to him and preached about him, that how he is rascal. And slowly he understood.
Yeah, so that's good, yeah. Giving book, again, book distribution, you get the books out. You're giving one instance, but it, like I say, you can't, it may work in one case, it may not work in another case, you don't know.
I have the opposite experience. I was distributing a
tree. If you say Sai Baba is worshipping Krishna, you say, well, I'm already worshipping Sai Baba, so what do I need your Krishna for? It's not guaranteed that your technique's going to work, because it worked one time. Yeah.
You don't have to accept anyone, just blindly the Lord, you have first of all, who is God, and just accept anyone, who is the shadow of Sai Baba followers and Mataji. Then it's acted like that directly and sitting in the book.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just presumed that if we don't speak the truth, that people will like it better, but that's not necessarily true. People who are sincere, they will appreciate the truth, and those are the real people that we want to contact. It's worth speaking the truth, even if 10,000 people go away. If one proper person comes, that's better than having 10,000 people we have to play games with and be careful what you say all the time, because they're not really with you. And if we just talk all, you know, this way, that way, and not make it clear, why should they come to us anyway? There are already thousands of organizations out there doing that. So again, in book distribution, you don't have to push all these things. You just get the books out. But it may be also, you speak straightforwardly, just like you were saying. Parameshwar. Yeah, Parameshwar, he goes, at least when I saw him on book distribution, he doesn't smile at all. He speaks to people in a very grave way, and he brings people immediately. They become grave also. I saw him, and of course I didn't watch him for very long. From others also, yeah. He just like stops people and calms them down and makes them serious and gives them the book. He's one of the top book distributors in the world, top book distributor in America. And America's not so easy for distributing books. It's a lot more difficult than India in many ways. Bhrigupati Prabhu is the great old hero of book distribution. He's very, I wouldn't say Parameshwar is unfriendly, but he is very great. Bhrigupati, he's very friendly like that. There are different techniques, different styles, different people. Whatever you feel comfortable with, if you can get the book out, that's the main thing. Just recently I was reading one devotee, he was distributing books, and one student he sold a book to said, hey, come on, I'll go with you, let's distribute some books. And this student, the devotee himself had been very low-key, but the student went around with the devotee and he met people and said, hey, take this book, it's all about Krishna consciousness, the only true religion. And he sold more books than he was a better book distributor. He just never had, didn't have any contact previously than the devotee, because the devotee was like trying to be very careful and... But he wasn't at all. He was just straight. This is the true religion. You have to find out about it. You have to take this book. And he sold so many books. Because he was very confident and straightforward. Confidence. That's Generally, confidence, people relate to that. If you're very confident and you're very sure and you're comfortable with what you're doing, like that. All right, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.